Hi, I'm Richard Lang, and today I'm going to be speaking with my friend Rob Middleton about headlessness.
Hello.
So Rob, what led up to you discovering the headless way?
Well, before I heard of all of this, I was walking with a friend of mine in Tokyo one day, and I had an experience that I wasn't really there. It was kind of though. I didn't have a head on my shoulders, or even though I wasn't really there at all, I was just kind of one with the scene. And I said to my friend, it would be great if I could kind of be in this state all the time.
Was that out of the blue?
Just out of the blue. It wasn't really prompted by anything, no experience or any particular conversation was behind it. It just seemed to happen. And then after that, I thought, wow, that's that would be a kind of good way to be. And after that, I was looking for a way to recreate that experience. Then eventually, a few years later, I stumbled across seeing. And I thought, ah, that's it.
Ah, that's what I was experiencing.
Yes.
Before.
So I had the experience, but no way of replicating it unless it just suddenly appeared again.
And how did you stumble across it?
You mean seeing?
Yes.
Well, I found on the internet, I found an interview with John Renlewis, an article by him, and he mentioned Douglas Harding, and I like what John Renlewis had to say, so I googled around, and then I found a review of Head Off Stress, one of Douglas's books, and I immediately ordered that. And after reading that, I found the website. And through the website, I got to meet a lady called Yuko, who runs workshops in Tokyo.
That's where you were living at the time.
That's it, yes, yes. And then I attended a few workshops there. And
what did you make of the experiments then?
Yeah, sometimes they seem to kind of click instantly. Other times I was thinking, well, this is interesting, but maybe next time. So I think I've had many different reactions to the experiments.
And then you met Douglas.
Yes, so I mentioned to Yuko I was going back to England for the summer. And she said, oh, you should contact Richard. And then I think I emailed you and you suggested I should contact Douglas directly. Because it turns out we're both from the same part of Britain.
Both from Lowestoft.
That's right, yes.
And what year was this, more or less?
That was, I think, about 7 or 8 years ago.
Right, okay.
And then I remember phoning up Douglas for the first time because his hearing wasn't particularly great. So we had a bit of a shouting match down the phone. And then eventually said, oh, come on over, come on down. And then...
he was in his 90s then.
That's right, yes, yes. And when I first met him and he discovered I was also from Lowestoft, he was completely amazed by this fact.
That anyone else from Lowestoft would be interested in seeing.
Well, yes, and he was, well, you know, you travel halfway across the other side of the world to discover we're both from the same place.
And how does seeing affect you in your life?
Well, I think generally it makes things easier. I think sometimes I'm kind of conscious of seeing and other times it just seems to be there. But when I'm seeing, it just seems to be, things are easier. It's not that life is necessarily that smooth, but whatever happens, just happens.
You're seeing you're built open.
Yes, I'm kind of built open and then it's almost as though I'm not there, or I'm one with everything else.
And you're a teacher, you teach English in Japan.
That's right, yes, yes.
Does it come into your teaching, do you think?
In terms of me reacting to, say, students and what goes on in the classroom, yes, I would say it kind of buys me a lot of space, shall we say.
Say more.
Well, I think previously I would get very, very, very involved in situations, maybe quite emotionally involved, particularly if it's a tricky situation. But I think seeing gives me a lot of space. So It's kind of like I am involved with the scene, but it's not. Rob's just a little part of it. There's a far bigger scene going on. And seeing that I'm part of this bigger scene going on, it takes the pressure off just being a small individual in this situation.
Mm. So, Rob, in what other ways does seeing who you really are affect you in your life?
Well, one of my lifelong interests is drawing, particularly drawing cartoons.
Mm.
And so for me, when I'm drawing cartoons, it's as though I'm not kind of really involved in the process. There's just the process going on. There's not the artist as such.
Mm.
And the ideas just seem to come very, very quickly out of nowhere.
So do you consciously notice that you're looking out of the openness when you're drawing, as it were?
I'll say sometimes yes, and other times it's just there. To be honest, often when I'm talking about seeing, I end up getting quite confused because for me it's an experience that's just there.
Right.
And trying to capture it in words, I often find is quite tricky.
It's a non-verbal experience,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been to a summer gathering or two.
That's right, yes.
Yes, and do you enjoy meeting others that are interested in this?
Yes. The gatherings have always been a lot of fun. And it's one thing I really like about seeing is there's people at the gathering and also people involved with seeing from all different backgrounds and spiritual traditions and non-spiritual traditions. And it seemed to be, it's kind of like a great leveller. You can still talk about this experience, share this experience with the experiments, and you can still disagree about a lot of the philosophical stuff or the spiritual stuff, but the seeing remains the same.
Mm.
And for me, that's just fascinating. It's very, very interesting to have this common basis that's shared.
Yes, because, one only ever experiences the space where one is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a non-verbal thing, but it includes the other person, like I'm including Richard and Rob at the moment.
Right, yes.
I guess it's the same for you.
Yes, and I think that's something I learn more and more about as time goes by, kind of what seeing encompasses.
The face-to-no-face, or the two voices in the one silence, is so vivid and alive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think you can extend that as well and take into account all the different sounds and everything, and particularly if you close your eyes and then the sounds are coming from all different directions, and that's quite an amazing experience for me.
Do you find yourself sometimes when you're with friends who may know nothing about seeing, just being capacity for them? And
oh, yeah, yeah. And I think they're also doing the same for me, but if I mention seeing, they would probably stare at me blankly, but in their own way.
And how do you find it, does it help you deal with problems in your life?
Yes, because when I'm seeing, when I'm kind of one with everything, there's not really a problem anyway. It's just things happen. Or maybe if I should change that, there's still the problem, but there's not the person that's the problem happening to.
Right, yes.
I mean, of course, if I have a pain, I still want to fix it.
Yes.
But it takes the edge off the pain.
You're thinking of changing jobs and changing countries sometime next year, perhaps. And does seeing play a part at all in some way in terms of decision-making and dealing with uncertainty?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it takes a lot of the stress out of it because you can go into new experiences and just let things unfold. I mean, you can still plan, I still make plans for things to happen, but then kind of staying in the seeing, things just unfold. And also my thinking is a lot clearer about it as well. Yeah, I'm not so sure whether it makes me more confident or not, but I suppose it's better to say it makes it okay to sometimes not be confident or have doubts or fears. There's space for everything to happen.
Which is your favourite experiment?
Well, it'd have to be the card experiment, the hole in the card and then with the small mirror on the side. I still remember quite vividly the first time, well, not the first time I did it, but when I did that for the first time with Douglas and Catherine. And that had quite a strong effect, the kind of guillotining off of my head. And that one's always had a strong effect on me.
Guillotining off of your head, that's yes. A vivid image.
Yeah, yes.
It is like that, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's suddenly one minute it's there and then it's gone, it's off.
And did Douglas take you through that then?
Yes, he took me through that one. It might have been Douglas or Catherine guiding me through it, but they were there at the time and that had a strong effect on me. But the good thing with the experience is it's not dependent on having any one person doing them. Because although I remember that, because it was nice to see Douglas and Catherine, I've also had the same effect doing that experiment by myself or with other people. So it's not dependent on having any one person there to lead people through it.
So when you did the card experiment and you were guillotined, any other reflections about that particular experience?
It just seemed to completely obliterate any sort of wall between me and other. And it still happens if I do the experiment again. I mean, that's the interesting thing. It seems quite fresh every time. And it's funny because the experiments are often quite amusing because they sometimes look quite curious. For example, the bag experiment. But it's interesting doing them again and again because sometimes a slightly different reaction or...
The tube.
Yeah, the tube experiment, yes.
So what's your experience of the tube, looking in the tube at another person?
Wow, it's... Well, what can I say? It's a bit unnerving and uncomfortable. And you really do have this other... face here instead of your own.
Why do you think it's unnerving? I find it unnerving sometimes.
Yeah, just this so close proximity to the other person, and there's kind of no escape either.
It's a bit like now, isn't it? Mm. You only see one face, and you're absolutely gone.
Yeah.
Empty for the other person. Yeah.
But it's curious because a lot of people want, say, more intimate experiences, a closer contact with other people. And yet it's freely available all the time. I mean, the tube demonstrates that very clearly, but it's the same case we're talking now. And that's freely available all the time, whether you're talking with a friend or I experience it if I'm paying for something at the shop. It's exactly the same thing. And for me, being in this space, the other person, of course, usually is not... that they won't have heard of seeing or anything like that. But if I'm in this state, it just seems to... I think the person kind of responds to it. It's kind of people just feel more at ease.
Do you think it makes a difference if the person that you're with, like now, is also seeing? Now, I know you can only be sure of your own seeing, but in the sense that one accepts someone else's seeing, well, do you think that makes a difference? Do you think it is worth hanging out with others from time to time who are seeing?
I think for sure it's nice to spend time with other people who are seeing. It's if you share any sort of... if you have a deep interest in any shared interest, it's good to spend time with other people. But you don't have to be exclusively in that environment. Because it makes you open for other people regardless of what their background is. So I enjoy very much spending time with seeing friends, whether it's face-to-face or via Skype.
Yes, you in the... regular Skype meetings with Sam and Navi and friends.
Yes, because I'm in Japan, yes, and in Australia.
Yes.
But now I think any relationship, it makes it's easier, yeah.
It is I find amazing that one can consciously communicate about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I only ever experienced this space myself, but I'm talking with you, and you're telling me that you're looking out of this openness too.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is within you as well. That's marvellous.
Yeah, and I'd also say it's a bit mind-boggling, if I could actually point to a mind that's been boggled. So.
Which bit is mind-boggling?
The idea that I'm seeing everything from this space and you're also seeing everything from this space.
Mm.
I think sometimes if I think about it too much or try and intellectualize it, then I get confused, whereas if I just stay in the experience, it's just all right as it is.
Yes, the experience is non-verbal.
Mm.
And we have the experience, so we don't have to worry too much about whether we describe it exactly.
Right.
We can be flexible with the words.
Yes, yes. Mm.
I think it's a marvellous thing to share, but as you say, it's somewhat mind-boggling and a paradox that one is discovering one is the only one, and yet one is sharing it.
Yes. Yeah.
The one is many, in a strange kind of way.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And another way of thinking about it is that one's looking out of a single eye.
Mm-hmm.
That has no boundary.
Yes, yes.
That's rather wonderful.
Yes, it's, I suppose it's like taking the blinkers off. You're suddenly seeing everything, and but all the senses I find are heightened as well.
Mm.
That seeing's sharper, and you're seeing things for what they are rather than an interpretation of them or rather an opinion of them.
Mm.
But also, having said that, if I then start having opinions about things, then I see that appearing in the space as well.
Mm.
So it's not as though... I think I used to think that, okay, I want to reduce thoughts, or I want to, you know, negative emotions, eliminate those, or get rid of labelling things. And then I realised that was all perfectly acceptable. The trick is to see it as it's happening. And then it comes and it goes.
Yes, one is upstream of mind.
Yes. Yeah.
And viewing all that mind stuff along with the rest of the world from this place of freedom.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to have all that other stuff because that's part of the human experience.
Yes. But it's not central, so to speak.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful to have all that stuff and yet be free of it?
Yes, yes. Yeah. There's a quote, I think, from Head Off Stress by Douglas. I can't remember exactly, but it goes along the lines of, if you are nothing, then all your problems would be okay. And if you are everything, all your problems would be okay. And with the seeing, it's kind of combining the two together. You're one with everything, but you're also nothing and then replaced by everything.
Mm.
So you're kind of doubly safe.
So why do you think this seeing or this discovery of who you really are, or whatever you want to call mm-hmm. it, why do you think it's so important to you? Some people don't value this at mm-hmm. all, but obviously for you, it is central to you. You value it highly.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, for me, if I'm aware I'm seeing, it just seems as though everything's all right. So for me personally, it just feels like the natural way to live. Just mm. everything seems to be better.
Mm.
And also, it ties in with a lot of people's experiences over long periods of history, people who've reported on such experiences, whether people who've had mystical experiences or near-death experiences or whatever, who've reported on these experiences of just I suppose, clarity with their life and being one with everything. So that makes sense for me reading about these accounts.
Mm.
So, yeah, it does seem to be kind of the natural way to be for me.
Mm. And perhaps one last question, Rob. What about death?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about death in the context of seeing who you are?
Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure, to be honest, because as a human, I have concerns and worries and things like that, and there's still a fear of death there. But when I'm seeing and I'm aware that I'm seeing, that's not there at all.
Mm.
So for me, seeing kind of takes care of things.
And why do you think it's not there when you're seeing that, like now?
Right. Well, it seems as though the Rob here is kind of just knocked out of the scene. And again, this also ties in with experiences that I've read of people who've been very close to death or had these mystical experiences. That seems to be the case as well. Kind of the die before you die and you'll never die.
So I suppose another way of putting it is that one is aware that right where one is, there's nothing that will die.
Yes, in a way. But going back to what I was saying earlier, sometimes when I'm kind of thinking and talking about it, it doesn't always seem to make sense. But if I'm just in the experience, then there's really no need to think about it. It just is.
Mm. Well, thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Richard.